Welcome back, everybody, to BrewPod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Atsett. And Brewers advance to a 10-4 record after another Road Series victory versus the Baltimore Orioles. Just a lot of positive things from this series. We saw a really good, steady offensive output that we've been seeing so far this season. We saw some really good pitching performances in this series. And just a lot of positive takeaways. And the Brewers' vibes continue to roll in a positive way to begin the season. Definitely one of their best starts in franchise history. See some players really heating up at the plate, some players that have been on a hot streak all season. And basically, this entire series was without Christian Yelich. He ended up exiting the game following his first at-bat, in which he singled on Friday's game. And then we saw him come out after he said he felt his lower back kind of strain and pull at him a little bit, which he's been battling with in the past. So, I mean, you're talking about some really positive offensive output in games without one of our superstar hitters and arguably our hottest hitter to begin the year. So, I mean, just a lot of positive things up and down the lineup, and we will dive into that here as we get into the episode further a little bit. So just wanted to give an update here like usual. We did see Joey Weimer called up for Sunday's game from AAA, optioning Andrew Monasterio down to AAA. And then a little bit of a hard hitter, J.B. Bukauskas, who's been pitching phenomenally so far for us since he's been called up in Trevor McGill's replacement. He falls on the injured list. Little bit of a concern there. He had a little bit of a flare-up that he's been dealing with in his arm and shoulder in the past, so hopefully nothing too much there. Hopefully we got him on the injured list early enough that we don't really see anything come of that, and we're able to get him back in a short amount of time. Trevor McGill did begin his rehab assignment, so we should be expecting him back, I'm assuming, sometime this week. Going to be really good to get him back into the bullpen, and as that flamethrower of an arm, I think he can definitely give us some late inning closings, because we have had a little bit of an issue with that so far to start the year. We did see Abner Uribe moved out of the closer role in yesterday's game, which we'll talk about here in a little bit as we see him struggle yet again. Kind of a consistent trend so far, and one of the more negative things, I would say, on the Brewers' side to start this young season. But diving in, we had game one on Friday. We saw Freddy Peralta start for the Milwaukee Brewers. He dominates yet again, probably his best start of the year. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, and 11 strikeouts. Probably could have gone a 7th inning. His pitch count was up around 90. But I think with the lead that the Brewers had, there was absolutely no reason to put him in there and potentially, you know, put in that potential factor of him getting injured or something else happening because of that. So I think smart decision by Pat Murphy. Pretty easy decision, I would think, to yank him out of the game. We did see Jackson Churio struggle a little bit in this series, particularly in this game in the leadoff position. He goes 0-for-6 with 3 strikeouts, but kind of went toe-for-toe with Jackson Holliday of the Orioles. He's been off to a little bit of a struggle to start his career. He went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts as well. But overall, the big thing in this game, offense stays hot. Offense stays on fire. Contreras adds another home run. Willy Adames goes 3-for-5 with a home run. And Joey Ortiz, he showed out against his former team. He went 3-for-5 with a couple RBIs as well. And Gary Sanchez makes me eat my words just a little bit. He gets his first 2 hits of the season, including a home run. And you know what? I'll take it. If it takes me saying something bad about a player, being a little bit negative on him, and he wakes me up a little bit and makes me eat my words, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to... You know, if it was the other way around, it'd be a little bit more frustrating if I said something positive and then they kind of went on a little bit of a cold streak there. But I'll take the opposite. And he tallied another hit in Sunday's game as well. So maybe we're going to see a little bit more playing time for him and some positive uptrending for him offensively, which is good to see. So yeah, that game ends 11-1. Brewers get another victory, another dominant victory, and another very high-scoring game for the Brewers offense, which we haven't been used to in the past, but so far it seems like it's a little bit of a norm and a little bit of a transition with Pat Murphy under the new manager role for the Milwaukee Brewers. So good to see that there, and just some dominant pitching as well in that game. Overall, probably our best and most dominant win of the season. Advancing to game two, Brewers yet again, an 11-run day. They win that game 11-5. Little bit of a back-and-forth game to start. We saw D.L. Hall struggle in his return to Baltimore. He only goes 3 1/3 innings, 5 runs allowed. And the Brewers started off a little bit slowly offensively. We did see, in that game one, we did see a little bit of a bench clearing. We saw a little bit of a contradictory moment between Adames and the Orioles catcher McCann. That was interesting to see. Not exactly sure what went on there from our standpoint, and I don't think it seemed like both managers kind of wanted to keep it hush and just keep what happened on the field, which I respect as well. Not exactly sure, you know, if it was something that somebody mentioned that was came off wrong, or what it was that could have been said that sparked that altercation. But nonetheless, we saw a little bit of that fire carry in for Adames in Saturday's game. He has another great game. He has a second three-hit game in a row. He collects a couple of RBIs. Rhys Hoskins added a home run to his ledger in this game. We see Jake Bowers. He hits his first home run as a Milwaukee Brewer. At that point, it was a tie game, 5-5 in the fourth inning, and he hits a huge go-ahead three-run homer to right field. Pretty much could tell as soon as he hit it that ball was getting out of there, just with the trajectory and the way that he reacted at the plate. So awesome to see him cap off what was a 4-run fourth inning for the Brewers, in which they never looked back. I think the big thing in this game, big takeaway, is the bullpen after that struggle from D.L. Hall, and my goodness, did they lock it down. They give up no earned runs through that would have been 5 2/3 innings. Peguero gets a win. He gets credited with the win. He goes 1 2/3 innings, tallies a couple of strikeouts. We see Brian Hudson come in. He throws an inning with a couple of strikeouts. J.B. Bukauskas, prior to getting injured, he goes 2 2/3 of an inning before Hobie came in to close out that inning on the lefty-lefty matchup, and he tallied inning and a third as well before we saw Pyomps come in and finish it off with a clean ninth inning. So again, Brewers collect a victory in Baltimore against a very strong Baltimore team. A lot of positive things in this game. Willie Adames seems like he's starting to heat up at the plate. And finally, I think, got to see our bullpen at their peak so far this season, with that just dominating way to come in and allow no earned runs to finish off the game. Usually when you have your bullpen come in the fourth inning, that usually spells trouble. But with the Brewers' offense, I haven't felt uncomfortable with them even being down when they were down 3-0. They were down 4-1 at one point. This team's offense, their ability to have plate discipline and put consistent, impactful at-bats together in these games, it makes a difference in it, and it makes us as viewers know that this team has a willingness to come back and fight until the end, and they've done just that, just some outstanding at-bats through the lineup. So it's been a really positive thing to see on that end. And then we advance into Sunday's Game 3 in yesterday's affair. Brewers end up losing this game in the final game of the series 6-4 in another competitive game for the Brewers. That means all four of these games were right there, kind of neck and neck going into the final innings. And we kind of knew, at least I did expect, with Corbin Burnes on the mound, we probably weren't going to see quite the offensive output that we have in these past games, but still a lot of positive at-bats that I thought. I mean, Burnes was only able to get 5 innings pitched. He ended up giving up 3 runs. Brewers were able to get to him a little bit early. We saw William Contreras lead off the game with a solo home run on just the second pitch. We saw some really good at-bats from Rhys Hoskins in this game as well. And just overall, just some really positive plate-disciplined at-bats, and the at-bats that we've become accustomed to now so far early in the season with Brewers hitters through and through the lineup. So just some really good things. I think I really like the Pat Murphy style of baseball, that he's really aggressive on the base paths. He's obviously been calling bunts for guys like Blake Perkins, Bryce Turang, Sal Frelick, and it's been working at a high rate. And then we also even saw with Joey Ortiz, we saw a little bit of a hit-and-run type call, which I don't know if we ever saw anything like that called under Craig Counsell. Not discrediting what he was able to do with the Milwaukee Brewers for the several seasons that he was the manager, but I do really like this style of play with our young, talented roster. I think this is exactly what we need to do. I think put pressure on the pitchers. I don't think a lot of the pitchers have noticed or even recognized a lot of the guys when they look at our lineup. So it kind of almost gives us a little bit of an advantage with the at-bats that we're putting together, because we're getting to these starting pitchers very quickly. We're getting a lot of runs off of them. We're getting into the bullpen early. And honestly, our offense is just raking against this opposing starting pitching. In this game, we did see Colin Ray have a little bit of a struggle in the early innings, but he found it. He was able to manage his location. We saw a couple of cutters on some home runs to Mullins and O'Hearn, where he was trying to backdoor them on the outside part of the plate, but they leaked over the middle of the plate and they made him pay for it. But he was able to kind of fix that later in the innings. He ended up going 5 2/3, gave up 3 earned runs, tallied 6 Ks, which is a little bit higher than we're accustomed to seeing from Colin Ray. But a lot of it, again, had to do with that really great command, his cutter-sinker combination playing really well off of one another. And he was showing a pretty good breaking ball in this game, and even his fastball was reaching up in the mid-90s, which usually he tends to sit around the 92-93 range, but we saw him hit 94-95 a couple times, so good to see him tick up that velocity a little bit. And I that obviously was making a difference with some of those strikeouts. We see Adames continue his hot ways. He tallies another couple hits in this game. He ends up having a multi-hit game in each game of this series, so all 3 games against the Baltimore Orioles. Positive things from him after a little bit of a struggle in the past few series. And then probably the biggest struggle that we've seen in this young season so far is the struggles continue for Abner Uribe. He comes in, Pat Murphy decides to put him in a 7th inning role in yesterday's game, as opposed to being in the closer position. He gives up 2 earned runs, gives up the lead. We saw him give up a leadoff hit, and then that led to Jackson Holliday for the Baltimore Orioles. He collects his first hit of the career, so congrats to him. A little bit of a chip off his shoulder, I'm sure, a little bit of a monkey off the shoulder, if you will, for him. He was struggling a little bit, having a lot of strikeout issues, actually, in some of those few games that he had leading up to that. But I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on him being the number one prospect called up to the major leagues, and good to see him get that first hit in front of the Baltimore faithful. So yeah, just a continued struggle a little bit for Abner Uribe. I do understand Pat Murphy taking him out of the closer position. I'm guessing that we would have seen Pyamps probably more in that role if we would have come into the later inning in the 9th there with the lead still. But I do understand with a little bit of the struggle in the 9th inning, I think Pat Murphy's trying to take a little bit of that pressure off of him in a closer position. But the sinker just doesn't have the same movement as it did. He's still got the velocity. It's maybe, 2-3 miles per hour down, but he's still hitting 98-99 miles per hour with consistency. It just seems like that sinker is a lot more flat, and it doesn't have that bite, and the batters are able to get to it. We're seeing a lot more ground balls, but with higher exit velocity, just because it's a lot more flat and it's a lot easier for these batters to get to. So I think some things that he can definitely work on, hopefully just some early season struggles. We didn't see him get called up until past the midseason last year, so I'm not exactly sure how he did in AAA last year, but maybe it took him a little while to get that sinker-slider combination dialed in. But definitely something that he's going to have to work on if we're going to keep utilizing him in a late position, in a late inning type role for Uribe. But other than that, that was pretty much the only negative walkaway, I think, that we had from this entire series. A lot of positive offensive outputs that we've been used to here so far this season, which is still, for me, an adjustment. I was looking again at the overall offense stats this morning. Brewers still rank number 2 in batting average, number 2 in OPS. They're up there in the top 6 for total home runs. Just a lot of offensive categories that the Brewers are up there in the top 5, which typically we don't see from the Brewers organization, an organization in the last several seasons that's been built around the pitching and the defense, and we're still seeing some of that. Maybe the pitching not quite at the same rate that we've seen in the past. But overall, I mean, pitching sitting still about middle of the pack overall in the MLB, towards the upper half of the pack, actually. So I still think with the team that we've got, I think we've got the opportunity to make a deep run into the playoffs. We just got to keep these guys healthy. We've already seen a couple of guys fall onto the injured list. But some guys that are going to be really impactful later on in the season, once we get guys like Garrett Mitchell back, he's expected to be back around the June time. We'll see Devin Williams back around that same time, probably middle of summer, more like July-ish. But I think that we're just going to improve as we get these guys back. And as long as we can keep the guys currently on the roster healthy, keep making some of these call-up from AAA like J.B. Bukauskas that can make an impact right away as soon as they come up. So just something, a lot of positive things to look at, and a lot of beneficial things that we've already seen from Pat Murphy and us getting adapted to him in the manager role. Just a lot of positive things from that end. But overall, I think I'm going to have to tip my hat and give the MVP of the series to Willy Adames. I would say William Contreras is the runner-up of this series. William Contreras, we've just come so used to him hitting at the rate he is, and he's just putting a tear on the plate. But I have to tip my hat to Willy Adames in a bounce-back series for him. He ends up collecting 8 hits in the series. His batting average is back up above .300 for the season. And between these three guys, Yelich, obviously, like I mentioned, he ends up sitting out for the series, but I think smart to give him some adequate time off to make sure that back injury isn't going to end up long-term, try and keep it more on the short-term end. But between these guys, Willy Adames, William Contreras, Yelich, we've seen Rhys Hoskins starting to heat up, Frelick's hitting really well, Terang's hitting really well, just up and down the lineup. Our offense is just incredible this year. A lot of batting averages sitting over .300, and just, you know, hitting home runs, getting stolen bases for these guys too. We saw William Contreras steal a base. We saw Adames take a base. So some even guys that aren't very runner-ish, they don't typically steal bases. With the new rules and the enhancement of base stealing in today's game, Brewers are taking advantage of it, and I think a lot of it has to do with the calls that we're seeing from Pat Murphy being aggressive, and I really like that style of play. But yeah, I think I got to tip my hat to Adames, give him the series MVP, and hopefully he's able to continue and stay consistent throughout the season, because if we can get him staying hot at the plate with William Contreras in there and Christian Yelich basically facing those guys in the 2-3-4 hole, watch out if you're an opposing pitcher on the mound, because good luck getting through that lineup without having some damage done to you, especially with how the bottom of the Brewers order is taking care of things as well right now. Another positive thing in this series, defense bounces back after a little bit of a rough series there against the Reds. We see no errors, some really nice plays behind the starting pitching, some really good plays behind the bullpen as well. And this is what keeps us close in games. This is what allowed us to pull away in some of these games when the Orioles were starting to put together threats. Some of these nice defensive plays kept them off the board, and then the Brewers would come back the next inning, throw some runs up on the board, and we were able to pull away with another series victory. And I think, based on the matchups that we've had this year, not discrediting any of the other teams we've played, I think this is the biggest series victory so far this season. I think this is the toughest team we've played, especially going on the road in Baltimore. in front of basically a sold-out crowd all weekend long. I think the Brewers fared very well. We had a couple of dominant wins and a game that we could have won with a little bit of, you know, a difference here and there. Finally, we saw that game yesterday. We did see the Brewers' offense struggle with runners in scoring position, which they've been so good at so far this season. But with Burns on the mound, with Cano on the mound, guys that strikeout batters at a high rate. We saw Craig Kimbrell come in and collect the save for the Orioles. You can understand why there was a little bit higher strikeout rate and a little bit more of a struggle with runners in scoring position. Just some very dominant pitchers that the Brewers' offense was facing all day long. So yeah, with that being said, I think a lot of positive outtakes from this game. I mean, overall, you get another series victory. Still have yet to lose a series. Still have yet to lose back-to-back games. Hopefully I don't jinx that going into tonight's game, where the Brewers will start their home series off against the San Diego Padres. We're going to get a glimpse at Manny Machado coming into town. I'm sure he'll get greeted with the Milwaukee boos, as he has ever since that altercation with the Brewers in the National League Championship Series with Jesus Aguilar and the controversial slide into second base with Orlando Arcia. And I was lucky enough to attend some of the Brewers games last year against the San Diego Padres, and they don't miss it. Anytime he comes to the plate, the Milwaukee faithful make sure to let him hear it for what we don't appreciate what he did in that series against the Brewers. But yeah, just a lot of superstars on this San Diego Padres team, even without Juan Soto, who was traded to the New York Yankees in the offseason. They still feature Ha-Sung Kim, who's been a really good shortstop, second baseman, kind of going back and forth. They've got Fernando Tatis Jr., who's incredibly athletic, really good right fielder, can do a lot of damage at the plate if you're not careful. They've got Xander Bogaerts, who they acquired a couple just last season. He's been a good addition to the team. They've got Jake Cronenworth. So just like some of the other lineups we've faced already this season, you can go up and down the lineup and you can talk about these guys all day long. They've got some real firepower in the offense. They've got a pretty good pitching staff, which will have, I think, some good matchups here in this week series, Monday through Wednesday. So starting today, we'll have Joe Ross for the Brewers. Hopefully he continues his hot start. He'll be facing up against Joe Musgrove, who's had pretty solid numbers against the Milwaukee Brewers in his career. In Tuesday's game, we'll have Wade Miley and his second start for the Brewers going up against Dylan Cease, who he was traded from the White Sox to the San Diego Padres. He's been basically their ace so far to start the season. He's been pretty good. He's had some pretty good numbers, pretty good starts. He has some really elite off-speed pitches, so it'll be interesting to see how the Brewers' offense is able to fare against him. And then in the final matchup on Wednesday, we'll see Michael King, the former Yankee, for the San Diego Padres go up against Freddy Peralta, who has been dominant and was dominant in his start against the Baltimore Orioles. So hopefully he is able to continue his hot start to the season. Peralta is definitely taking on that ace role in the Milwaukee Brewers starting rotation. He's doing a very good job. And I got to imagine there's quite a bit of pressure on him, even though maybe he's felt like, you know, the way he's pitched the last couple seasons, it's very possible that he's already felt like he's basically been in an ace role for the Brewers, even with, you know, Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff in there. With those three guys pitching, you've basically got, you know, these guys would be aces on any other team in the major leagues. So you basically got three aces when we had those guys lined up going back to back to back. And that's why we saw so many wins in that stretch of time and so many good pitching performances. So hopefully he is able to continue his hot start to the season. And then once we're done with this short little homestand, just these three games at home, the Brewers will have an off day on Thursday before playing three on the road versus the division rival St. Louis Cardinals on the road, and then we'll face four games on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So all the division games for the Brewers so far this year being played on the road. We saw those three games against the Cincinnati Reds on the road, which was supposed to be four before that game was postponed. We're going to see three on the road against the St. Louis Cardinals, and then another four on the road versus the Pittsburgh Pirates, like I said. So, going to be an important stretch of games for the Brewers. Hopefully with that off day, we're able to get the bullpen some much-needed rest, able to get them kind of back up, because we're going to need, I think, probably, you know, we're going to need some innings out of those bullpen guys, and we're going to have to see some bullpen guys back-to-back days. So hopefully we're able to put up some high offensive outputs like we've been doing, and we're able to get some wins where we don't need to see a lot of the bullpen guys. But one can wish, and we will see what comes of that. Before we wrap up here, just want to give a little bit of an update for the National League Central standings. Brewers currently tied for first with that record I mentioned of 10-4. The Pirates are tied for first place with an 11-5 record. They stay pretty hot. They just recently split a four-game series in Philadelphia against the Phillies. They will be facing the New York Mets next. They will continue their little road trip that they are on. The Reds improve to 9-6. They take care of business against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. They will continue their interleague play on the road against Seattle this week. The Cubs improve to 9-6. They take 2 out of 3 from the Mariners, and they will be playing Arizona next in the desert. And the Cardinals fall to the Diamondbacks 2 out of 3. They fall to a 7-9 record, but they will be facing the Athletics next, so we'll see if they are able to bounce back. But not to discredit them at all, but I do not mind seeing the Cardinals at the bottom of the totem pole in the NL Central by any means. So with that being said, you guys know BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. So feel free to listen to this podcast wherever it is you may like. I can always be reached on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter, or by searching BrewPod Between the Lines podcast on Facebook or Instagram. Hopefully you guys are able to catch some of the Milwaukee Brewers games this week as we open this week at home. And we have the Milwaukee Bucks. They will be hosting the Indiana Pacers for game one of the playoffs here coming up on Sunday. So exciting to see them start their playoff run. Hopefully they're able to make a deep postseason run this year, and we will see what comes of that. But with that, we will see you guys next time. Talk to you soon. Of course, go Brewers. Hopefully we're able to continue our hot ways to start the season.